If the rand-dollar exchange rate reflects the outlook for South Africa, then we can take heart that it has held firm around 18 rand 30 to the dollar since the national elections in May. This appears to be a tentative vote of confidence in the government of national unity, with 18 opposition parties occupying ministerial or deputy ministerial positions. But is this another Ramaphosa moment? Remember the market optimism when Cyril Ramaphosa became president in 2018, but then quickly faded as he battled to contain corrupt elements within his own party. Could it be different this time? There are some encouraging signs that the GNU is injecting some fresh air into the national government in portfolios such as farming and home affairs. Well, we're joined now by Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth, to delve into the likely impact of the GNU on financial markets. Welcome again, Adrian. There's certainly some optimism around the government of national unity, but as I mentioned in the intro, could it turn out to be different this time, or is it going to be another Ramaphosa moment, in your opinion?
Hi, Kieran, and also hello to everybody listening in. Yeah, I think, you do see some commentary out there sort of alluding to the fact that most of the benefits or potential benefits will only materialize over time as we see GNU being implemented and policy reform. And there's definitely an element of truth to it in the sense that we will only see the larger and more enduring benefits of GNU over the coming years. But I do think there are fairly material benefits already that's largely being overlooked. I think it's really important that we also consider what things would have looked like now had the elections gone the other way. And then we've got to contrast that to fully appreciate the benefits that we've already seen.
Okay, so I mentioned the rand is firm, but it's not exactly strong, is it? What does that tell us about the state of the country, and how could things have turned out differently if the ANC had opted for example, a coalition with the EFF and MK rather than the government of national unity?
Yeah, I think, I mean, for us, if you look at what the dollar and the rand has done, the rand has strengthened roughly, call it just under 3% since the elections have passed or since the formation of the GNU. But that's also largely to do with what we've seen the dollar do over that time. So the dollar is down around 2% as well. So there's really not much benefit in the currency. And I think that's why we see the commentary being a little bit more tentative around, is this really a good thing? But like I say, we must think of what could have happened if we had seen a coalition between the ANC, the MK, and the EFF. We would have seen a much weaker rand. And then from there, things get progressively worse if you look at some of the other indicators. So, for example, you can imagine a market sell-off in bonds, property, and equities in general. If we did see some significant currency weakness, it would have translated into much higher inflation. We would be talking about higher interest rates with monetary policy reviews coming up. We would have seen, over time, job losses. I would imagine the consumer and business confidence numbers would have been completely obliterated. PMIs would have declined. Tax bases would have been eroded. And obviously from there, the likelihood that we would experience higher tax rates to fund some of these forming deficits would have been higher. Larger primary and current account deficits. And some of these other things that have kept foreign investors at bay, so some of these more populist reform proposals around NHI and land reform and prescribed assets, those kind of narratives, given that the coalition government would have been further left, would have definitely taken more momentum and put a damper on markets. And then obviously following from there, if we think of foreign relations, it's not really, if we look at some of the guidance that's provided through World Banks and the tensions that we've experienced with offshore investors, U.S. relations in general have deteriorated quite significantly since Lady R. And I can't imagine that the situation would have progressed in a positive way had that coalition government with the left side parties. But if we look at what we've seen instead, as we mentioned, the rand has strengthened, albeit only marginally, to what we think should be reflected given the changes that we've experienced. But where you can pick up some significant changes, definitely on the foreign investment side. So keep in mind that in the first 5 months, we've seen outflows from South African financials that averaged around 10 billion rand a month from January to May. The SA financials experienced 50 billion rand in outflows from foreign investors. So that tells you what investors were thinking about what the risks are in the country. But what we saw in the last 2 months, so we saw a 4.5 billion inflow in June, followed by a 5.8 billion inflow in July. So it tells you that investors abroad have largely changed their minds and sentiments have changed. The bonds have rallied, equities have rallied. Given that the currency is stable and slightly stronger, inflation has remained stable and the outlook has improved. And instead of talking about rate hikes, we're talking about potentially a first cut in September. Our GDP forecasts have been revised upwards. The large global banks have positively adjusted their assessments of the country and the prospects for the country. And also importantly, some of these more controversial reforms have now been halted and will now need a majority junior support in order to be passed. So they've been dealing with these things slightly differently. We already see this week what's been happening with NHI, just the fact that these things are being roadshowed in a way that doesn't have the approval of the broader GNU seems to be getting people's feathers all ruffled. So, but that's good. I mean, that's the whole point of the GNU government is to have that broader buy-in, and that's really the strength of it. And looking at some of these examples that I've mentioned, the future that we would have had if things had gone differently looks very, very different to what we see now.
Indeed. That sounds like quite a few positives. And of course, the stock market has been quite strong over the last few weeks. Has the future success of the country not already been priced into the financial markets?
Yeah, I think from an investment perspective, in terms of where the opportunities are, that's really the heart of the question. Have we now seen the benefit? Yields have come down slightly and equities have rallied slightly. The rand has reacted positively. Is that then it? And we'll take it from here. I think there's still a lot of scope for improvement. If we look at the rand strength in relation to the dollar weakness, it's hardly moved. The bond yield spreads have come down, but still the spread in relation to the US bonds is still big. It still shows that there's some room to close that spread down. In other words, for bonds to rally. We could say the same for equity. So although foreign investors are buying our banks and they think there's the obvious opportunity, some of the other areas are still showing tentative flows on that front. So we do think there's a lot more scope for foreign flows, which are far a range away from their previous highs. And keep in mind that emerging market sentiment remains weak globally. But I think for where we sit in relation to our emerging market peers, we look like a far more obvious option than what we would have a couple of months ago.
It looks like we're waiting for a catalyst of some kind to unlock the economic potential that you've been pointing out. What do you think that catalyst could be?
Well, I think the obvious one that's sort of on our doorstep would be interest rates. So decreases there will be positive. A good example is what we've seen now this week with Japan hiking rates and the impact of on the carry trade. In other words, borrowing from on Japanese lending rates and investing in the US. So foreign investors are incredibly sensitive to the value on offer. On our side, we're seeing rate cuts probably 75 to 100 basis points lower over the next 12 months. That's really good for our listed companies. It's earnings supportive, obviously. That could be something that sparks interest. Lower rates in the US will support US markets over the short term, but we think that recovery will be fragile given the high valuations on that end. But I think investor appetites for EM in general will start to accelerate. And like I say, I think South Africa looks relatively attractive when compared to peers. So whatever's going to prompt the interest in emerging markets, I think is going to be the trigger for a renewed appetite for South African asset classes.
Right. Now, what about the longer term impact of the GNU? Are you heartened by what you've seen already, and do you see this as a trend that's likely to continue into the future?
Yeah, I think maybe the best way to describe it is cautiously optimistic. I mean, we shouldn't be naive. There's no doubt that we will see friction in the GNU. And there's a lot of philosophical differences in terms of the way that different parties look at different areas of policy. And maybe something else that hasn't been put in place as yet is a mechanism for dispute resolution. So at this stage, I think we will see a lot of arm wrestling. and that process is slow and not sustainable. So we do need a good mechanism for governing these controversial issues. But that said, for me, the key changes that will pay the most dividends is definitely a stronger constitutional democracy, given the change that we've seen. There's definitely a centrist anchor in the new government that sort of outweighs the populist extremes that we've seen in the previous structure. And I think that will largely be positive for markets as well. The whole mechanism is also far more conducive to improve scrutiny over policy and even political commentary that goes into the market, which often seem quite reckless. I think that kind of thing will hopefully ease out. And also the unilateral way that the things were done, given that the ANC were in government on their own. And then from there, fewer mistakes, less corruption, better decision making, and more efficient allocation of resources. And I think the prime example that we live through today is probably NHI, because I think everybody's in agreement across the GNU constituents that universal healthcare is something that we need as a nation. But NHI is not going to be the silver bullet that sorts all of that out. And in the previous government, we even saw right before the elections, it was signed. But now consider that the NHI is not supported by the majority of the members of the GNU. So that's a good example of how that additional scrutiny in terms of does this plan actually work? Does it make sense? And in terms of better allocation of resources, is there's commentary out that says even if we look at the existing budget for healthcare spend, if we are just less wasteful and there's less corruption, that's actually sufficient to fund universal healthcare, which I found quite surprising. But it just goes to show that we shouldn't take these shortcuts. And I think the fact that we have the GNU will mean that additional layer of scrutiny and thinking about what is the best practical solution going forward is a much better way of doing things. And the reality is that there's limited resources available to government to fund these various projects. So you need to be careful and think carefully in terms of how you spend. But this new government, for me, facilitates that process much, much better. So I think longer term, remember the issues that we have today is because of poor capital allocations over many decades. So I think if we start to put a environment in place and government in place where there's limited scope for poor allocation and much better allocation of resources, then things will start to improve. So I think the longer term impact is fairly substantial. It's a much more improved process and system for getting the right things done.
Well, it looks like we're certainly in for an interesting couple of years ahead. We're going to leave it there. Thanks very much, Adrian. That was Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth.